devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. Timurandasha, Gadanjana, Shlakaya, Chakshur, and Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shigurave Namaha. So I thought it would be appropriate this evening to speak about His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who is India's greatest ambassador, spiritual ambassador. And I would like to speak a little bit about his history based upon this very nice poem that I've been reading lately. It's called Vrindavan Bhajan. I'm not going to read the whole poem because it's quite a lengthy poem, but at least the first part we're going to comment on. Now, a little background as far as His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is concerned. Srila Prabhupada is a Shaktivesh avatar. In other words, he has come right from the spiritual world, being empowered by Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He was predicted by Lord Nityananda, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and many other personalities predicted that there would be a great personality who would appear, who would spread the holy names all over the world. And as we mentioned earlier today, it's one of the groups we were speaking to, that in 11 short years, Prabhupada opened up 108 temples worldwide, had 5,000 disciples, and he started it all from zero. That is, he had no money, and there was one disciple in India who didn't help him. Godbrothers who turned against him. I mean, basically, if you look at it objectively, it looked like everything was against Prabhupada. And he was having heart attacks on the boat coming over. So many things that materially would indicate that it wouldn't work. But because he was empowered by Krishna, and for two reasons. First, he's a Shaktivesh avatar. And secondly, he was given the order by his spiritual master, which he took as his life and soul. This is very interesting for all of us, that if we take the order of the Guru as our life and soul, the success potency of the Lord is there. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. I was there when Prabhupada said that to us. We were supposed to produce 17 books in 2 months. Prabhupada was taking a tour of our BBT, that means Bhaktivedanta Book Trust facilities, and Prabhupada was 17 books ahead of us in his translation. And we had to basically, we meaning the whole crew there, had to basically transcribe all those books. And transcribe means you listen on your headset, your headphones, and then you have to type. In those days we didn't have computers. You have to type, manually type everything out, and then edit it, proofread it, and then typeset it. And that meant an old type machine for typesetting. And do all the pictures to illustrate the books. 17 books, each book had like 15, 16 pictures, original pictures. And then contact the printers, arrange the money to print 17 big books like this. And the devotee said to Prabhupada, when Prabhupada first said that, they said it's impossible. And Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And that shocked all of us, and then we took that to heart. So Prabhupada really took that to his own heart in carrying out the orders of his spiritual master. And he was discouraged at every step from doing it by his godbrothers. And even after Prabhupada arrived in America, he had a donor in India who was ready to pay for purchasing a temple in New York, except he couldn't get permission to bring the money from India. And he had one godbrother who had the ability to get the permission, and that godbrother wouldn't even cooperate. And then Prabhupada wanted to buy land in Mayapur several years later, and his godbrothers were trying to stop him from buying land. So there were these impediments all along the way, yet Srila Prabhupada persevered with firm faith in his spiritual master. Now, just to give a little background, before Prabhupada took sannyas or even took vanaprastha, Prabhupada was a family man. And he had a business. He was in the pharmaceutical business. and was traveling all over India, and Prabhupada and wife, we had children. But what happened is that Krishna arranged a certain circumstance for him to make that a very difficult lifestyle. What happened is his wife was really turning against him in many ways. Prabhupada's wife would bring out a feather duster. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a feather duster before. You know, nowadays you have vacuum cleaners. She would bring out a feather duster and blow dust in the face of the guest that Prabhupada was bringing over his house to preach to. That's one thing he did. She did. She would take Prabhupada's Bhagavatams and to buy tea biscuits, she'd trade them in the marketplace. Imagine the most valuable thing. Bhagavatam is like by what religious principles are protected in the age of Kali. And then she sold them for tea biscuits. And tea is something that strict Vaishnavas don't take. Prabhupada was so strict about tea, I'll tell you some funny stories. Hopefully I get to what I'm... Because I start talking and then I go on and on. But Prabhupada was so strict about tea that when he first made the movement, the devotees sometimes were taking herbal tea. And Prabhupada asked, why are you taking this herbal tea? Not even the tea that has the caffeine in it, like the black tea you have in India. And Prabhupada said, why are you taking this? And they said, Prabhupada, I'm sick, I have a cold. And Prabhupada said, okay, if you want to take tea, I'll make you some tea. And I'll show you how to make the only tea you're allowed to take. And then he made something called the ISKCON Brahmastra. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. That was hot peppers, chili peppers, ginger root, and hot spices. And it was so hot that you forgot you had a cold when you drank it. It would burn out the cold, burn out your nostrils, and you got better immediately. It really worked. It was definitely interesting. So Prabhupada was very strict. So he had a wife who was drinking like caffeine tea. In other words, tea is considered an intoxicant, I hate to tell all of you. So, and his wife was selling his Bhagavatams for that, interfering with his preaching. And then Prabhupada finally said to her, tea or me? And she said, of course, tea. I'd rather have tea than you. It sounds funny, but it's actually quite traumatic for someone to hear that. You know, for someone they're trying to love and serve for all these years. It says, tea is more important than you, my dear husband. You can imagine the scenario. You know, it's actually painful. Just like sometimes when one goes to a dentist, it's painful to have your teeth extracted. So Krishna arranges these painful circumstances for his devotees so that put them in certain situations so they can carry out his mission. Now, don't you get worried. It's not going to happen to any of you. But Krishna arranges that. Just like Prabhupada was very fond of quoting this one verse, Yashaham anugrindami harishye tadvanam shunai. For those who I especially favor, I take everything away, so all they're left with, even their friends and relatives reject them. And that's exactly what happened with Prabhupada. And all they're left with is the holy name, and they become pure devotees of the Lord. So Prabhupada was always a pure devotee. Prabhupada, in fact, he told us, he said, there was never a time when I forgot Krishna, when I didn't remember Krishna. I mean, that was Prabhupada's position. So remember, these are all leelas of pastimes, of not of an ordinary person, but leelas, pastimes of a great personality. So, and then Prabhupada had his business. Originally, he was planning to use his business to spread Krishna consciousness. I mean, his whole idea was to build up the pharmaceutical business, make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and then he'll have millions of, or crores of rupees, let's say, and then support the preaching mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur kept giving Prabhupada the instruction, both in person and in dreams, to basically to spread Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking countries, in English, and also to give up everything and take sannyas. And Prabhupada had this recurring dream where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was beckoning to him, right? And Prabhupada comments, he says, I was horrified by having that dream. So, I mean, it's a pastime. I mean, Prabhupada is a pure devotee, ready to do anything his spiritual master wants. But for the sake of pastimes, it's like a dramatic performance. It's like Yogamaya. For example, you see Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita apparently being in Maya. You know, he doesn't want to fight. Krishna's giving him an order, and he comes up with all these excuses. You know, it's going to destroy family traditions. It's going to, you know, how can I kill my family members? I'd rather die or give up the battle than kill them. How can I enjoy the kingdom even if I defeat them? He has all these excuses. But this is Yogamaya that puts Krishna's devotees in certain circumstances so they act out the leela. You understand? So Prabhupada was the leela too. So then Prabhupada tried to develop this business and everything fell apart. There was stealing. People were stealing from the business. He went bankrupt. And Krishna arranged that everything was taken away. And then later on, even when Prabhupada, after he took Vanaprastha, dedicated his life fully to the mission, he tried to establish some preaching in India in a place called Jhansi. And he was given this hall, this building. Later on, after he developed, had some success, then the governor of that area, his wife, was pushing to turn that place into a ladies' bhavan. And so that was taken away from him. So you see things continually being taken away, and you think, wow, why is Krishna so mean? And then, you know, I compare that to Queen Kunti, too. When Queen Kunti is put in all this difficulty, and she prays, Janmaishwarya Shudasya Shibir Edamana Adapuman. He says, she prays, Twamakinchana Gotra, that I should not be attached to good birth, the good birth I had. She has the best birth, of course, in the wonderful dynasty. So, not be attached to good birth, not be attached to wealth, to beauty, any of these things in this world. That's very similar to what Lord Chaitanya said, Nandanam Najanam Nasundari. Kavitam Ba Jagadisha Kamaye. So, you see, in the lives of many great personalities, things are taken away or they're put in great difficulty. And so, that shouldn't scare you from devotional service. You shouldn't think, I don't want to become advanced because Krishna will do that to me. But ultimately, the time factor will do that to all of us. I don't want to be, you know, scary. But, you know, Mitru Sarvaharas Chaham. When Arjuna saw the universal form, when Krishna was speaking Gita, he asked Krishna, who are you? Because he saw everybody rushing into the mouths of the universal form, you know, the thousands of mouths. And Krishna responded, Mitru Sarva, that's time. I am all devouring death. And also Krishna said, Kalo Asmi. I am the time factor. So by this time factor, everything... So this is the introduction to what I'm going to read. A brief introduction. And this is so interesting. So this is Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan. It's written in Bengali. And it's in a poeticized form, not in English. But in Bengali, it's a very beautiful poem in Bengali, if you sing it or read it in Bengali. But I'm just going to read the English. So Prabhupada here has lost his preaching in Jhansi. He has no longer the family supporting him. No business. He's practically penniless. Even to publish his books later on, Prabhupada had to practically carry the paper to the printer. Just he had so little money. And he didn't eat for days just so he could print his books. I mean, that was his determination. Can you imagine that? I mean, I ask any of you not to eat for 2 hours. Basically, it's traumatic. I said, don't take a midday meal. Like I have a diet, I only eat in the morning and the evening. If I mention that to people, they say, it's so austere. I just got a letter, actually, I was reading on the phone before I came here, from one disciple who said, we can't believe you don't take salt. You know, but imagine, Prabhupada gave up eating for days so we could publish books and carry out the mission of the spiritual master. So, here's Prabhupada in Vrindavan. This is such a beautiful expression. He says, I'm quoting from Prabhupada here, I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money, so they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. Dasham anagrinamaye harishye tadanam shanai. That's the verse I quoted before. I gradually take away the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand the mercy of the All-Merciful? It's beautiful, isn't it? And in Prabhupada's words, even in English. Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless. So he's seeing like the material society of friendship and love. You know, it's based upon a business exchange, basically. Like Pallad, going back to the story of Pallad Maharaj, when Lord Nrsingadev offered Pallad Maharaj anything he wanted, Pallad Maharaj said, I'm not a baniya, you know, I'm not a businessman. I'm not going to do business with you. I just want you to cause this devotional service. That mama janmani janmani shri bhavata bhakti hoitaki dwaye. So, but in this world, I'm not saying all relationships are like that, but Krishna arranged for Prabhupada to have that sort of relationship. He said, everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless. Wives, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone, this is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? And like Prabhupada is just saying, yes, this is Krishna's energy. And he's having these realizations. Yes, Krishna. So in other words, whatever happens to us, it's Krishna. Krishna is teaching us certain lessons. In this, he says, I sit alone and laugh. So he's sitting alone in Vrindavan and laughing at the whole thing. I mean, it's like a painful laughter. In this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where have my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. Like the froth and the seawater mixes again in the sea. Maya Samsara's play is just like that. No one is mother or father or personal relative. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the froth on the seawater mixes again in the sea, the body made of five elements meets with destruction. How many bodies does the embodied soul take in this way? His relatives are all simply related to this temporal body. And this is beautiful philosophy. Actually, there's many poems that Prabhupada wrote. This is just one of them. There's one devotee in New Zealand. His name is Haranya Garba. Some of you may know him. He's a disciple of Bhakti Chumaris. He's actually compiled a book of all the Acharya's poems, including Prabhupada's poems. And I have a copy of it, but I can't give it out because it's just in the beta stage. So I'm reading through Prabhupada's poems and just becoming very inspired. And Prabhupada was actually a kavi. Kavi means like a poet, a learned person. Here's another one, another verse, verse 4. But is not everyone your relative brother on the spiritual platform? This relationship is not tinged with the smell of maya. In other words, yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanapashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vigigupshate. That everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. We're all brothers and sisters. So all this bodily, what Prabhupada would call skin disease, you know, where we identify with a certain community, a certain family, a certain nation, because of the body or because of where the body was born. In the Bhagavatam, that's called the mentality of a cow or an ass. Sa eva gokura. Yatirtha bhuri shalele nakari chit. Janeshu abhigeshu sa eva gokura. One who goes to a holy place to take a bath, not to hear from the holy people, or considers his place of birth worshipable, he's like a cow or an ass. I mean, how many times do we actually talk about where we were born? How many times do we go on Google Earth and try to look at that place? Has anyone done that here? Some of you have. You won't admit it. And look at that place. Because that's creepina. That is actually a skin disease. Just like you have eczema is a skin disease, so the worst skin disease is being attached to this body and things related. Anyway, so this relationship where everyone is relative, brother, sister, etc., is not tinged with the smell of maya. The Supreme Lord is the soul of everyone. In relation to him, everyone in the universe is the same. All are your relatives, brother. All the billions of jivas, when seen in relation to Krishna, they are all in harmony. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva desires for sense gratification, and as a result, he is firmly grasped by Maya. As a result of past activities, he takes on different types of bodies. Absorbed in that dress, he remains forgetful of Sri Hari. Therefore, Maya gives him so many kinds of miseries, and although he bobs up and down in this ocean of misery, he thinks still that he is happy. Lying on a bed, suffering greatly, having been sick a long time, he says, "I am very well today," and laughs. I get a laugh out of his feeling very well. This is the way the conditioned soul, conditioned by Maya, feels well. But how many plans they have to remain well, but time and time again, nature destroys them. That is the Supreme Lord's Maya. Try to understand exactly the meaning of their feeling well. No one is well in the whole world, but still they are saying it. In this way, Maya cheats the conditioned soul, but ignorant of being deceived, he remains absorbed in Maya. And although Maya kicks him, he will not give up his mistaken conception. Again and again making plans, and again they are destroyed. Sometimes he falls on the dry earth and sometimes in the mud. In this way, the universe is filled with wandering jiva souls who finally, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, get bhakti, the eternal wealth. Gaining that wealth, if they can give up all other so-called wealth, then very easily he crosses to the other side of the ocean of samsara. Then on the other side is unparalleled spiritual variety where he enjoys an eternal happiness and peace. The mad say everything there is formless, without special features, like a kind of nothing. Krishna is actually the storehouse of spiritual tastes, raso vai saha. The intelligent knowers of rasa serve him, becoming his subordinate. Shanta, dasa, sakya, vatsalya are those tastes. And the best of them, madhurya, is the essence of them all. In the spiritual world, all these tastes are relishable, whereas the material tastes are just shadow reflections and are all contemptible. And we'll just read one more verse. One who worships Krishna is clever, whereas one who worships Maya is a pauper. Becoming a pauper, one engages in temporary pastimes. Without knowledge of the true relationships of things, he simply becomes bound up in Maya's knot. Arjuna and Duryodhan both fought in the same war, but Arjuna was the greatest devotee, and Duryodhana died. On the same battlefield, both the dear and the detestable, one who is intelligent will be able to understand this. So these are Srila Prabhupada's words, living alone in Vrindavan. And then, living alone in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was living, of course, in the Vamsi Gopalji temple, and then later on, before Prabhupada came to the Western world, he was living in the Radha Damodar temple, where you have the Samadhi and the Bhajan Kutir Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada would be regularly relating to the mission of Rupa Goswami, because we are called Rupanugas. Rupanugas means the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. As he was sitting in his room at the Radha Damodar temple, looking out at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. And sometimes, this exhibits Prabhupada's exalted position, sometimes devotees would come in the middle of the night and hear Prabhupada crying in ecstasy. That's one of the symptoms of transcendental love for Krishna, one of the what we call vyabhachari bhavas, or intermittent ecstatic emotions. And then Prabhupada left that position where he was so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And he was advised by many of the residents of Vrindavan, don't leave Vrindavan, you're old. Because an old person is always thinking of dying in the Holy Dham. Because if you die in the Holy Dham, you go back to Godhead. But Prabhupada left that position, that comfortable position, that ecstatic position, to carry out the order of his spiritual master. So what do we learn from this? And let's get down to our own particular lives. We learn that the essence of spiritual life
is to carry out the order of guru. And to have a guru is absolutely essential. We were talking about this earlier today. Many people think they can become Krishna conscious without a spiritual master. Well, there's a problem with that. One problem is that Krishna himself doesn't give bhakti. You can pray to Krishna all you want, but according to the acharyas, Krishna himself doesn't give bhakti. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti is given by Krishna's devotees. Like we have this this Vaishnava poem. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite par. Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him. I'm simply running after you shouting, Krishna, Krishna. That's a very beautiful poem. So, if we actually want bhakti, not mukti, not karma, not bhog, not enjoyment, then we have to have a seed of bhakti implanted in our hearts. We were discussing this earlier today. Let's say you have a garden. Let's use this metaphor. And in this garden, you plow the land nicely, you're watering it nicely, you put the right fertilizer on it, but you haven't put the seeds there. Do you get anything useful? Yes, weeds. Weeds come without seeds. That's what you get. And you're thinking, you're looking at the weed and thinking, oh, what a nice plant. Isn't it? Someone who is not intelligent can't distinguish weeds from the actual plant that you want to grow. But if you want the plant, then you have to go to get the right seed. You can't just like think of the plant, meditate on the plant. You have to go to someone, purchase the seed. So who has the seed? Bhakti Lata Bij. That's Krishna's representative. Brahmanda Brahmatai Kona Bhagyawan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. The living entities are wandering, and until they come in contact with Guru, they don't get that Bhakti Lata Bij. And what is the symptom that one has that Bhakti Lata Bij? That one loves Krishna, not for what he can do for you, but what you can do for him. There's that famous saying, of course, in America, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's John F. Kennedy made that statement. So we apply that statement in spiritual life. We want to love Krishna so much that, like the gopis, we're willing to go to hell if that pleases Krishna. You know, the famous story with the gopi's headache. That's what the Bhakti Lata Bij gives you, and it gives you the greatest happiness. That's why we're not happy, because we don't have that loving exchange with Krishna. We have everything else, especially here in the Western world, but we don't have that love in our hearts, so therefore we're seeking to invest that love in mechanical objects, material objects, electronic objects, our dog, as Prabhupada would say, or our cat. And this love becomes frustrated. If you can love in an unlimited way, ever new, ever fresh love, yayatma supersedite. Savai pumsam paradharma yato bhakti hoksaje. Ahoitukiya pratyata yayatma supersedite. Very important verse from the Bhagavatam. Savai pumsam paradharma. The topmost dharma for the living entity, paradharma, is that bhakti. Bhakti doesn't mean simply love. It means causeless love. That means simply wanting to please the object of love. Yato bhakti yad hoksaje. And then hoitukiya pratyata. That love is undeterred in each circumstance. And it's unstoppable. And it is not caused by any material motivation. Hoitukiya pratyata. Yatma super. Then the soul actually becomes satisfied. Until then, you'll just always be looking here and there for the satisfaction of the soul. So that's what we're seeking. So therefore, you need to approach a spiritual master. Tadviganartam sagunam eva vigachet. Samitpani shrotiyam brahmanishtam. So many verses are indicating there. And then inquire submissively, render service, and that's Srila Prabhupada's perfect example. Prabhupada manifested that in order to achieve pure love, you follow your spiritual master's order and you go to the Western world and preach, or whatever the order is of the spiritual master. Rather than staying, and later on he talks about this in the poem, rather than staying in some lonely place and simply chanting and thinking you're loving Krishna, Prabhupada said that's an illusion. Later on, there's some very heavy verses in this same poem, which we don't have time to read. So carry out the order of Krishna and his representative in this preaching mission. Especially, we all have the order of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like everybody here, and I'm looking in the audience, maybe there's a few of you that weren't born in India, or weren't. Like Lord Chaitanya says, Partha Bhumate Hoila Manasa Janma Ja, that anyone born in India or Fiji, he says, I'm adding that. Anyone of Indian extraction, I'm actually extrapolating on that particular verse, has as their duty. So Lord Chaitanya, who is in one sense the guru of everyone, is giving you that duty to spread Krishna consciousness. To be part, and what does it mean to spread? To be part of Prabhupada's movement. Because this movement is meant for creating a revolution in the misdirected lives of this civilization. Tadvag visarga janataga vipago yasmin pratishlokam avadavachapi nirmana nantasha yasho nikatani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti yat sarvaha. That's a verse from the Bhagavatam too. That even if we're not expert in presenting Krishna consciousness, as long as we present it as it is, like that's what the verse says, even if it's imperfectly composed, these words of Krishna Katha, representing the Krishna Conscious Society, Prabhupada's movement, can create a revolution, in other words, a real revolution, not one of the coups like you have in Fiji, but a real revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. That's what our movement is meant for. It's not simply, you know, sit down, be happy, eat a lot of prasadam and die. Go back to Godhead. But it's change the face of the whole world. That is Vaishnava. That's another thing Prabhupada brings out in this poem later on. A Vaishnava cannot sit idly by and see others suffer. If you see others, let's say right now we're sitting here and someone, a car hits someone. Would we all continue to sit here? I hope not. I hope we would rush out, see what help we could give, call the ambulance, and, of course, not interfere in a way that would hurt the person, but call the first responders. We would try to help. So a real Vaishnava sees that without Krishna consciousness, everyone is suffering. How can we not rush to help? How can we not, like Prabhupada? If you hear Prabhupada's words, when he first came to America, listen to some of his classes, they're so almost frantic in his compassion for the people. You know, Prabhupada is pleading with people to become Krishna conscious. You can hear the compassion emanating from Prabhupada's voice. And that's Krishna consciousness. And then you'll be happy, and then the whole world can be changed. So any questions or comments? It's time.
On that, stated in A.M. Bhaktajana Parsa.
Yeah.
The those who are, that say that I am the direct devotee of the Lord, actually they are not.
Not my devotees, but those who are a devotee of my devotees are actually my devotees. That's a nice verse. He's speaking to Arjuna. So, yes, we need to work as a team. So any other questions or comments? Yes.
Saying about the importance of preaching, but you know we don't. You know sometimes when you go out and preach, when there is a disappointment, it's tough to come out of it. So how do we, you know, tackle it? Like we go out with a lot of effort, and we don't see, you know, how do we come out of that?
Well, the results are up to Krishna, not up to you. If you try to own the results, and actually preaching means distributing prasadam and assisting. Not that everybody has to sit up here, but you assist. Like you have these nice programs here and in Liverpool and other places. So you assist. I mean, even the person who's setting up the chairs, Radha Shalini, she's preaching by setting up the chairs. You know, many people, you know, of course she can speak. She's very good at speaking. But many people can't sit up and speak or can't speak about, you know, for one reason or another. Then they assist. Like Prabhupada said, it's like the Indian railway system. Their motto was keep the wheels turning. Someone is taking tickets, someone is driving the locomotive, someone is fixing the rails, but everybody has a part to play. So if we play our part in this great movement, this is a great movement to re-spiritualize society. Prabhupada called it a movement. He didn't say it's the Hare Krishna Club, Hare Krishna Organization, Hare Krishna Church, Hare Krishna Temple. He said Hare Krishna Movement. Prabhupada had a big vision. to change society. He wasn't interested in just a few little disciples or whatever, a few temples. So, yes. Well, first of all, we have to, that's a good question. Like, let's say in accepting a spiritual master, you have to ascertain whether the spiritual master is qualified. And that one verse I mentioned gives some indication, Samit Panish Rotriyam Brahmanishtam, that in order to be a bona fide spiritual master, one has to come into cyclic succession, be imbibing the service attitude towards his spiritual master. In other words, he is a servant. We're all servants. If one thinks I'm a guru, this is what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, then he's a guru, he's like a cow or an ass. So if one should think he's a servant, you understand? We're servants, we're all das. That's why Prabhupada gave the appellation, after all of our names, das. Now if you go in Bengal and you have the name das, it's a lower class appellation. It's a lower class designation. Means servants. But Lord Chaitanya said, Gopi Bharata Padagamala Dasa 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 Anudasa. So that's the first quality. Who considers him or herself, because ladies can become gurus too, considers himself or herself just a servant of the previous acharya and servant of everybody to give them Krishna consciousness? So Samitpani Shrotriyam, who has heard nicely from his guru and can apply the knowledge in realization according to time, place, and circumstance, and Brahmanishtam, never falling or deviating. So these are different qualities that one should look for in spiritual guides. And if one finds that, I mean, I found that with Prabhupada. I was looking everywhere, and finally I found Prabhupada. And that's when my bhakti was awoken. Actually, my bhakti started when I heard Prabhupada chanting on the radio before I even understood Prabhupada was my guru. They had this album, it's called a happening album or something that Prabhupada recorded, and it was played on the radio, and I didn't know anything. I was just listening to the radio like, you know, anybody else. I was 18, 19 years old at the time. It was 1850. No, they didn't have radio then. But, you know, it was like 1960 something, like 1968, 69. I was in the university. And I heard this chanting and it just said, wow, what's that? And then I started thinking about it. And then I had one of the first tape recorders at that time and I recorded and played it over and over again for myself. And then someone happened to give me a Krishna book. And I read one story that I didn't understand, which is a story about a little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. I don't know who he was, but anyway, he was stealing butter and feed. And I couldn't keep it out of my mind. It was just like I had become crazy. Because I would go to sleep and dream of a little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. And the thought would keep coming back in my mind because that was the Bhakti Lata Bija that was actually implanted by Prabhupada through his books, over the radio. And that's where, you know, that's where my devotion started to develop. It's amazing, isn't it? So someone connected, we can do that too if we're connected with Prabhupada. It's like if you're connected to the powerhouse, you can also have power. You know, you can also, you know, air condition, whatever power you need if you were connected to the powerhouse. You're not the powerhouse. You got to realize that. We got some bogus gurus, not in our movement, who say, I'm God. And they're not the powerhouse. They're not even a light bulb. All they can produce is the effects. I better not say this. The effects of fire ashes. But not the fire. Uh-oh, got myself in trouble. So, anyway, so on that note, yeah, this is an important mission, and it gives us a purpose in life. I mean, I remember one of the reasons I took up Krishna consciousness is I was looking for a purpose in life to help people. And I was looking at mundane charity and thinking that doesn't help people because they have to die. Originally, I wanted to join the Peace Corps. You know what the Peace Corps is? That's a voluntary organization in the United States where the government sends you someplace. It's still going on today. In Fiji, they have Peace Corps volunteers where you go and help people. So I thought, I want to help people. But then I thought, if I help people, they still have to die. So what is the use? But then Prabhupada solved that problem for me. It gave me a means to help people and to really help people, so the help was permanent, which is giving people Krishna consciousness. That's the greatest charity. I mean, we can do other things too. That's fine. But unless you help people permanently, you're just blowing on the boil instead of giving people the medicine. Okay? I think we have to end now. A nice crowd here. So we thank you all for hearing this. I hope it wasn't too heavy, what I was saying. But, you know, I'm just very inspired reading from Prabhupada, and I wanted to share that with all of you and share that. I've been sharing it with other devotees as I've been going around.